It is by faith what? Alone. Here we go. It's by faith, alone. Grace, alone. And Christ. And so that's what we said. When it comes to salvation, it's nothing that we can do. It's nothing we can work for. It's nothing we can earn. It's by the work of Jesus. It is the work of the cross. It is God's grace in our lives. And so last Sunday, as we started out in chapter 6, we talked about being a church and being people that says life is better together. And that we look out for each other and that we look out for ourselves, because we said sometimes we can be our own worst enemy. But ultimately, we look to Jesus. We look to Him who is the author and perfecter of our faith. Now, in a couple of weeks, beginning in September, on September 6th, we're going to take a time to go through a new series, 8-week series called Old School. And what we're going to do is we're going to be looking at 8 different biblical characters in the Old Testament to look at their lives and see how God used them, but also the struggles and the situations that they were in. So hopefully you'll be able to be a part of that as we begin the fall here at Hope Community Church. But I want to get back to the Rubik's Cube. So 30 years, I still have not been able to complete this. Even with YouTube and Google, I still cannot do this. And sometimes whenever I'm in a situation or I'm watching somebody do something, I always tell them, you just got to be smarter than it. So we're going to leave that there for a minute. And so that's where we want to go today. Tom prayed about it to say that don't give up. There are things in our lives that we will go all out for. And there are times when we start to go all out for it, we get excited and the adrenaline's there. And then, you know, by month 1, month 2, month 3, we start to wane. We start to slow down. You know, not just with the Rubik's Cube. I haven't picked up a Rubik's Cube, honestly, in a long time. Or when Sega Genesis came out. That was a long time ago, too, kids. That was a great gaming system. It was like 3 months, and then I was bored. So when the Xbox came out or the PS3 and 4, I'd say, Tina, I would love to get one. She's like, no, that's not happening. Because, you know, you're going to waste all that money. It's just going to sit there. So anyway, with all that to say, I think in our own lives, when it comes to our faith, we have ebbs and flows. We do. I do. And with that, when we talk about this idea of not giving up, what does that look like in our lives? What does that really mean when it says we're going to live a life for Jesus to not give up, but also at the same time, what do we need to give up in order to live out that freedom that we've found in Him? So in our outlines this morning that are in the bulletin, we want to say this, is that we want to say that our lives are lived all for Jesus. Our lives are lived all for Jesus. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, he says, with all this going for us, my dear, dear friends, stand your ground. And don't hold back. Throw yourselves into the work of the Master, confident that nothing you do to Him is a waste of time or effort. And so Paul was encouraging as he ended the book of 1 Corinthians. And he says, just don't give up. And so maybe that's for you today. Maybe you need just to hear that. Just don't give up. Whatever God has for you in your life and you feel just like throwing in the towel, He's telling us, don't give up. And sometimes when we're ready to give up, we become good negotiators, don't we? We're saying, God, you know, you say give all, but what if I just give a certain percentage? And maybe that, you know, that'll get me through. But what He's saying to us and to me, I want you to give it your all, whatever that may be in your life. And so in these verses today, we're going to look at verses specifically 7 to 10. And Paul, in chapter 6, specifically in verse 6, one of the things he says, and then we're going to read the passage, but he says in verse 6 that he says, remember to care for those or give money to those who give you instruction, who teach you. And so I'm gracious for your generosity, you know, because I have bills too. And so that didn't go over very well. So, okay. So the point is, he says that it's good because we are better together, that we look out for one another. But also some of the biblical commentators were saying in verse 6, he says, look out for each other as well. And I know here at Hope Community Church, this church is a church of generosity. There's no doubt. And as I shared last week, I've seen it in my own life, and I've seen it go on. So when he gets to verses 7 to 10 here, what Paul is beginning to do, he's saying, let's go back, okay? So we're going to have a corporate or a collective piece, but we're also going to have a personal piece again in these verses on the importance of living a life for Jesus. And so let's turn, if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to go back to Galatians chapter 6 or your device. It's also going to be on the screen. But again, we're going to look specifically at verses 7 to 10 here in Galatians chapter 6. And beginning in verse 7, here's what it says. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So again, Paul is making it personal, and then he makes it collective again. And next Sunday, we finish out our series in where Paul talks about, I'm making a declaration. Everything that I've written to the church in Galatia, I'm declaring why I do what I do. I'm declaring why that I've been persecuted and in chains for the gospel of Jesus. But today, we see here in verses 7 and 8, is that Paul says that God cannot be mocked. God cannot be mocked. We can't make a fool out of God. So what we're saying, or what Paul's saying here, excuse me, is that don't fool yourself. If you think that you can fool God, let me tell you, don't fool yourself. Because it says that God's not going to be made fun of. God's not going to be made a fool. And you may think, well, I the culture that I live in, they do that. But what we know about who God is, he is a God of justice. And he is a God that is saying one day, there will be justice served. Now, that is not, I'm not trying to be in a negative tone, but what I'm saying is there may be things in our, we're asking the question, where's the justice? Where's the fairness in this? And what Paul is saying again is God. He's the God of justice. He will not be made fun of. And the truth is that sometimes we can fool ourselves. Sometimes we can fool others in the life that we live, but we can't fool God. We can't fool him. And what Paul was doing, Paul was using a farming analogy here. And he's saying this, listen, if a farmer is going to plant and grow potatoes, corn will not come out. It's just not going to happen. When you plant potatoes, you will get potatoes. And so I remember as a kid, speaking of fooling, and I was the fool in this story, so just as long as you know the moral of it, then we're moving on. So I thought, and a couple of my friends thought, it'd be really cool if we skipped youth group. Because, you know, growing up, we were at church when the doors were open. We were there Sunday, Sunday night, Wednesday, whenever things went on. And so when we got into the church parking lot, my parents would go over to church, and then we had like a youth building that we went over to. So my friends and I said, oh, why don't we skip tonight? That would be pretty cool. We would be pretty bad skipping youth group. And so we did. We're like, bye, Mom and Dad. And then, there we went. And there was a strip mall that we went to and went to the arcade. And we got back. But we didn't meet Mom and Dad in church. We met them at the car. And so we get into the car, and we're going home. And how was youth group? Oh, it was great. Really? What'd you learn? Jesus. All right. So, you know, Jim, which was my youth pastor, he said, Jim said he missed you tonight. Oh, well, you know we have a pretty big youth group. No, Jim missed you tonight. You weren't there. And so, you know, shame on me, right? So it's kind of weird to say, but I got grounded for skipping youth group. But anyway, you're going. But anyway. But just like, you know, I got in trouble for doing that. But here's the thing. In our own lives, if we think that we're going to begin to live a life for ourselves, as we've been talking about in this series, we live by God's leading, and we don't give up, we will reap the benefits of that. And it may not make sense, because you may be thinking, there are people in my life who, they could care less about God, but they, at every turn, ding, good, and then I'm doing this for you, God, and trouble, difficulty. What's going on here? But what he's saying is, listen, don't fool yourself. Continue to live for me. If you're saying it's all for me, let's do this together. And see, what God says to us is he says he's pleased when we do things his way. When we begin to not negotiate. When we begin to say, I will give up all that I am for all that you are. And then when I do so and I journey with you, that's when it gets hard and it gets difficult that I can say that I'm doing this all for you. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." It's a spiritual death. It's an eternal separation from God. But Paul goes on to say, "But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." It's what he's saying is it's almost like drinking water and drinking salt water. So if you drink water, your thirst is quenched and you feel satisfied, right? Okay. And then if you begin to drink salt water, you're saying, okay, my stomach's full, but I still need more. I still need to have satisfaction because if we drink that salt water over and over again, we're going to continue to be thirsty, aren't we? And so that's what Paul is saying here. If we live for ourselves, it's temporary. It's temporary. Now, you may think that it's good and you're going on and you're going on. And as we talked about last Sunday, we may wake up one day and say, how did I even get here? What happened? What did I do? Or what did I not do? But Paul is going on to say that when we choose to live by God's leading, to allow his spirit to take us, and that we begin to live out a life that says it's going to be a life of love, as we talked about the fruit of the Spirit and all those, joy, peace, and so on, he's saying it's eternal. It's eternal. And so you may think at times that it's not worth it. You may think at times it's a waste of time. But we began by Paul saying it's not a waste of time. Continue to do what God has asked you to do. Because the verses in chapter 15 before verse 58 that I read at the beginning say this: death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have victory. We have victory through the power of Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, you instantly hit the lottery or all your troubles go away. It's saying that through Christ, you have victory. In other words, you have victory like he had victory. We have been raised to life, and we follow him. It's like the story of Abraham Lincoln, who was in a marketplace at one time, and he paid for a slave to be free. And that slave came to him and said, well, what do you want me to do? He said, nothing. I wanted you to be free. She said, no, what do you want me to be? He said, no, I just wanted you to be free. Well, what else do you want me to do? No, I paid for you to be free. And she said, well, if that's the case, then I'm going to follow you. And that's what Jesus has done for us. He said, I'll take it on, what you could not do. If you thought you could earn it, if you thought you could please me by the things you think are the way to go, it's what I've already done. And we have to make that decision to say, then, if that's the case, then I'm following you. He freed us for freedom's sake. That's what Christ has done. And it's back to the Rubik's Cube example. So again, 30 years, I still have not been able to figure this thing out. But yet, there's a student here at Hope that can do it in about 20 seconds. Did you know that? Oh, good. Thanks, Sue. So, Nathan, why don't you come up? No, not a student much longer. You're not going to get emotional on me, are you? Okay, good. So, why don't you and I start working on this, and let's see if I can even get a side going. No, jeez. Okay, I got some blue. I'm close. Okay, good. All right. So, where from here? See that? Well, all I have to say, Nathan, is the world record's under 6 seconds, so there. Yeah. But Nathan, if you could give me a hand, can you do mine? And I'm just going to keep talking here. So Nathan got his done, right? That goes back to this idea that it's not even an idea. What Paul continues to remind us here, he's saying it's done. And what we want to do is we want to get and mess it up, and we want to do our thing. But yet he's saying it is done. The work is finished. The work on the cross took care of this. I freed you for freedom's sake. 30 years. Thank you, Nate. This is what he sees. God sees us made right through his son, Jesus Christ. He said, it's done. And Jeff, there may be things in your life or there may be things in our lives that we've been doing for years that we just keep going back and messing it up instead of doing it God's way. I'm not saying this is easy, folks, okay? Following Jesus sometimes is not only countercultural, but it's like we go, like, really? He said that? He wants me to, what? It just doesn't make sense. But by faith we say, it is through you that all things are possible. And he wants us to remember this. This is where it's at. This is where it's at. This is you. This is where it's at. And so Paul says in verses 9 and 10, he says, for at the proper time, if you're going to make the decision to say it's all for Jesus and you with his help, you say, I'm not going to give up. He says, for at the proper time, Paul says to us, he says, hold on and help. He says, hold on and help, because we're going from an individual to collective as well. A reminder of what Christ has done, it's grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone. Paul's saying, listen, the truth is, there's going to be times in your life where you're going to get exhausted and your mind's going to start playing tricks on you and you're going to begin to put things in your head that aren't true. And we begin to turn to those things rather than turn to the one who has saved us. But here's what Paul wants to remind us. He says, just keep doing what's right, not what's easy. Keep doing what's right, not what's easy. You know, when I think about these verses here and don't grow weary, it's like going to the shore on the boardwalk and the seagulls. And whenever you purchase something, they remind you, make sure you cover whatever it is. So like you go get the Johnson's popcorn, you either keep it in the bag or you seal it. And we were just at the shore a couple weeks ago and a little girl dropped, I can't remember, I think it was fries right there. And then they just all, mine, you know, they were just coming in. And but it just reminded me that that's how our lives are. There's those voices that are speaking to us, or those temptations that are there that are saying, come on, just give it, just drop, just mess up just once. And the evil one is wanting us to do that. And you may be thinking, but I am doing for God, and it seems like it's harder, but that's what the evil one wants. He wants us to give up because he's not going to work hard on us. If we continue to say, it's all for him, and I'm not giving up, I'm going to keep fighting the good fight, whatever that looks like. And you know what? Those seagulls are going to come in every once in a while, and those things we're going to give in to, but God's saying, let's do this together. We can do this. You can do it. I believe in you. And so, in Matthew 24:13, Jesus says, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. He says, just keep going. You know, imagine being a first century Christian and where the Roman government thought that what you believed in was superstitious. Not going to worship in Roman temples, but worshiping together in houses just didn't make sense. You worship one true God? No, there are many gods. And in our culture today, it says that this is the way that life is to be, or this is what is going to bring fulfillment to you. And Paul's saying, just don't give up as to what Christ has done for you. Think about you and what that means in your life. You know, Jesus also said that in the world, there's going to be trouble. He did. You know, I remember as a young Christian, I would think, well, isn't life supposed to be all good now? Wait, difficulty came. What? Or why did this happen? Or why this incident? Or he said there's going to be trouble. It's not if, but when. But he says this. He said, but have peace. Take heart. I have overcome the world. Because there's a future ahead. He's saying, continue to move forward. Continue to do what I've called you to do. Ultimately, there will be a harvest that will be reaped. Jesus will return. And he will come, and his presence will be with his family. But his presence is with us now through his Spirit to guide us, to lead us, to counsel us. And there are going to be times when we have those victories in life, But we know the ultimate victory is when God is with his people once again. And so he's saying, hold on. Keep fighting. And keep saying, it's all for you. And so that's on the personal level. But on the collective level, he's saying, as you have opportunity, so as a result of everything you've just heard about not giving up, just remember to look after others as well. Look for opportunities to make Jesus famous. And he's saying, listen, we want to make sure we're like the Hard Rock Cafe, love all, serve all. Because, you know, what it doesn't say here is that you get to pick and choose. You know, maybe they don't speak the same language you do, or they have a different lifestyle that's different than you, or have a different political view than you. He's saying, help those. Now, what I want to make clear is have boundaries, too. You got to have wisdom in those times, in those situations where you're helping others. But he's saying, love all, serve all, but especially those who are in the family of God. And I've been a recipient of that, not only here, but in our time in Canada. I've told you, we raised our own support, and there were times where the money was not coming in, but yet there'd be groceries on the doorstep, gift cards, because we said, we're not giving up to what you called us to do, God. And that may not be you. I'm just saying that I've seen that lived out, and I've seen it lived out here as well, and I'm so grateful for this community of faith. And when we do that, Proverbs 3:7 says this, whenever you possibly can, do good to those who need it. And I thought about, if you remember the bracelets, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Jesus would give the Father glory. But where would Jesus be today? Would he be in those places where the downtrodden and broken? Would he be in the places where people may go, oh, well, you know, you don't agree with me, so I'm not going to hang with you? Where would Jesus be? We know he would give glory to the Father. But would we be those people who are Christ-like, who are his followers, that would be in those places that he is as well? So let's remember that, you know, it's easier to pick and choose. I've done it before too in my life. And God's really shown me that that's not the right attitude. And that's not the way that his Son would approach things. So if we're saying it's all for Jesus, we want to say, let's not give up. Let's not give up. And so just a few things for us when it comes to what does this mean for us personally? How do we make this apply to our own lives? And so I just want to take a few moments and talk about the unshakable factor, excuse me, the unshakable factor, living this life all for Jesus and at the same time not giving up. So the first is this, is that we want to seize the moment. We want to seize the moment. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. For in the realm of the dead, where you are going, there is neither working nor planning nor knowledge nor wisdom. So he's saying, seize the moment. Carpe diem, seize the day, seize the moment. And maybe for you, your moment may be, how can I honor God with my life? And it may be as simple as, you know what, I'm going to begin to seize the moment by the moment I wake up and I'm out of bed, my first 15 are for him. And maybe that's through reading the word or prayer, whatever that is. Or maybe, you know what, I want to honor God and seize the moment by honoring with my family. I want to be a God-honoring husband or a God-honoring wife. I want to be a God-honoring child. You know, students, as you get ready to start school again, you know, how are you going to honor God? What is going to be your moment? Because we can know all the stuff about Jesus, but what he wants for us is to know him and to live that out in our lives. So what's your moment? What ways can you honor God in your life? So we want to seize the moment. The second is that we want to move with God. We want to move with God. Isaiah 43, beginning in verse 18, says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past, see, I am doing a new thing. So we want to move with God. I want to share another leadership summit moment for myself. It was the last speaker of the conference said, I'm going to give you five things, and I want you to write them down, because when we get to the end, I want you to stand up for the one that you most relate to. And he says, if you don't write them down, then you're stupid. I'm like, wow, okay. Okay, all right, focus. Okay, so he writes them down. I write them down. And he says, okay, now is your opportunity to say, are you going to move with God? And for lack of better terms. And when he said, increase your confidence, I shot up. I just stood right up. And I was like, I want to move with God in having more of God confidence. You may be going, you lack confidence? I do. There's times where I do feel insecure because my voices say, you can't do it. You're not educated enough. What will people think if they knew the real you? And so when all those voices are going on, I stood up and said, I only want to hear your voice, God. Because in that moment, I remember going back to when this all began. And someone reminded me, he said, God does not call those who have it all together. He will put together those he has called. And I stood and I said, confidence. That's what I need. I need to have more confidence in who he is and his truth. And maybe that's for you too. You know, because sometimes we think as Christians, we just have to have it all together and get all our stuff fixed just this once. And then we feel embarrassed when we don't have the answers when people ask us. But yet the scriptures tell us, just give an answer for the hope that you have. Good news, remember folks, is not just that one time saying yes to Jesus. It's good news all throughout our lives. It's good news. It's good news. It's good news. So from there, it's been a week, so hopefully that I don't wane after 3 months. But I want to have that God confidence. Not arrogance, but I want to have that God confidence. Now, I'm not saying that you just drop everything and say, well, that's all done, and I'm going to move on. Because I've learned in my life, your past does affect you. You know, little did I know. But all that to say is that God may, as you move with him, he may want to bring you back and say, let's work on this. Because I want you to go with me. It's who I want you to become. Remember, we're human beings, not human doings. Says, that's who I want you to become, like my son. So let's move with him, and however that looks. So really, the question is, are you on the move? When you're on the move, you may be thinking, listen, I just got to seize the moment first. All right, well, that's great. Start somewhere. But for those of you who have made decisions to follow Christ with your life, are you on the move? So we want to seize the moment. We want to move with God. And finally, we want to watch what happens. We want to watch what happens. God says to the prophet Habakkuk, he says, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. God says to this prophet, he's like, I'm going to do something amazing. And even if you got the word before it ever happened, it's happening. I'm going to do something great in this situation. And just like he told a prophet thousands of years ago, he tells us that today. I want to do something amazing in your life. And you may not believe it because you've allowed everything just to clutter your heart and your head. And it's blocking you from what God wants to do in and through your life. And I thought about coming here to Hope Community Church. And when we began the zone years ago, and we had high school students come from Upper Moreland, and it only lasted a few years, and then some situations arose where we had to make some decisions to shut it down. And I thought, man, like, really? like we had a great connection there, and so we were connecting with students. And as I share with you, there was one student from many years ago that I met with before Easter and said, I gave my life to Jesus, and you were a part of that. And I'm like, no, Jesus did it. He's like, no, but you were a part of it. And so then we started a couple years ago, the fifth quarter. I didn't think that was going to happen. And our first fifth quarter we had, 84 students are in this church running around. I'm going, this is mass chaos. But thank you, Lord. You know, and to see that and to see the vice principal come up and the principal and the basketball coach just saying, wow, thanks for what you're doing. Watch and be utterly amazed. When you seize your moment, when you move with God, just watch what he does. Because when we get our hands in it, we'll mess it up. I know I do. But he's saying, just watch and be amazed at what I will do. Maybe you need to ask yourself, has there been a time where God has blown me away? Have I been blown away? You may be thinking, but Jeff, like, these are some big things here. No, I'm not. Have you been blown away just by just taking time in prayer and saying, God, not what you want, but what I want, and you begin to see things happen? Or maybe it's, there's a situation, God, that, you know what, maybe you need to change my heart, or maybe you need to change their heart, and then you begin to see that happen. Maybe you need to just say, God, I need help with forgiveness. And then watch and be amazed at what he can do. If you begin to say, I'm not going to give up, I'm going to follow you, because it is all for you. So if we're saying it's all for Jesus, and we want to say that we don't want to give up, then really for you and I, it's time to move forward. Not forgetting what's past. Continue to work in those things that he wants us to work in, but moving forward with him. Not only individually, but as a church. We have some, as we've shared today, some initiatives in the fall. What does that look like for you? What does that look like when we begin to be a church, again, as we shared last week, that people begin to look and say, wow, they really are genuine in their love for each other, and I want to be a part of that. And then that gives us the opportunity to share the hope that we have. And so Hebrews 3:6 says this, but Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house, and we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. If you ever travel by car and you drive, do you ever think, like, this is going to be a forever trip? Like, if you have a long one to do and you're driving on the road and you just, you know, you're getting your zone. But for me, what I'll do is as I'm driving, I see the sign, like 130 miles. I'm thinking, okay, if I do this much, we'll be there in 2 hours. Cool. Slow down, Jeff. Okay, all right. But what I'll begin to do is I go and look ahead. You ever do that? Like, if you're in an area that has mountains and stuff, like, I'll look at the road, folks, don't worry. But I'll look ahead, and then I get there. And then I'll look a little bit further, and I'll get there. And I look. So when I thought about this passage, is that what, that's what God wants for us? He wants for us to have his confidence, to see that there will be a time when we're going to see him face to face, where we're going to say, you know what? I never understood what you had me go through this for, but thank God that you were the one that held me together, that it was your grace that showed up every single time. And as we live in the here and now, as we've said before, that we can do this, not only together, but with him. You know, this Rubik's Cube, I really believe I will never complete it. I really don't. I'm just not that smart. But what I can say is that I know the one who can. I know the one who can. Grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. I am complete in him. No matter how messed up I am, no matter what my thought processes are at times, I know. This is what I have for you. Don't give up. Keep moving forward and go with me. Why don't you pray with me? As the worship team comes and as we just take a time of reflection, you know, maybe for you, as we've talked about, maybe you are a good negotiator. Maybe you get in those moments where you begin to slow down and you begin to make excuses for what you can't do, but yet what we know today and we've seen is that God is a God that does the impossible. Maybe you're someone who is saying today, I just need to seize the moment. And whatever that looks like for in your life. And seizing the moment today, you may say, I really see today that faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done for me is what makes me right with God. Maybe that's for you, because salvation is here in the person of Jesus. Maybe for you, there's areas of your life where you've seized the moment, but yet you've seized up. And today you need to say, God, I'm ready to move. I'm scared. I don't know what it all looks like, but I'm going to move with you because I want to become who you've created me to be. And be encouraged, because you know what? Sometimes we may not watch things happen, but we know it's what God is doing in and through us that we can be amazed by. Maybe today you just need to say, I am a follower of Jesus, and I'm not going to be moved by the world, because my God is with me. My God goes before me, and I'm not going to fear, because I'm His. So wherever you are with these things this morning, my prayer has been that we would just truly give up us. Maybe that's what you just need to do, is give up you and say, I surrender it all to you, Lord. I've gone through the motions. I know a lot about you, but I want to know you. We say that we continue to strive to be a caring place where only God is the one that changes and transforms hearts and lives. Maybe that's what you need to call out today and say, mold me and shape me so that when I leave here today, I'm moving with you. Jesus, we each of us has a story. Each of us has had things happen even this week where we've asked, really? Do we have to go through this again? Why is it me? And yet our Heavenly Father, in His grace and in His love, He says, do you trust me? Do you believe that the story that I'm writing is for your good and for my glory? Father, may we be people who say, yes, you are writing my story. And there are times I want to give up, God. There are times when I don't want to be all in. But when I look at the cross and see what you have done, thank you. And because we say thank you, Lord, let us be people who not just talk it, but may we allow you to infiltrate our lives. And even if we don't and can't figure out some things, we know you have. And you're asking us to follow wherever you lead, wherever you go. Let us turn back to you, God. Let us be a church that makes your name famous. No matter what that looks like. Because we know you paid a great cost, because you wanted us to be free for freedom's sake. And so we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.